Hello everyone, it's that time again, sat in the car, waiting for my children, story of my life it seems, but I thought now was the time to record another pod on Man City, and their lineups for FPL really. That's obviously the reason why I'm doing this. Please bear in mind that I'm just some plum sat in his car, and I'm not ITK in any way. I could be drastically wrong. I don't have any access to Pep's mind or his plans. So yeah, take it with a pinch of salt, of course. The reason why I feel like I've been able to do quite well this season in reading Pep is because he's kind of followed, you know, a few set rules almost. And the rules pretty much are he doesn't rest people, as he says in his own words. He predominantly picks players on their form, as in how well they're playing in his mind. But also on the opponent, you know, what's the best way to beat this opponent. And that's why largely going by those rules have enabled me to do pretty well across the season in predicting his lineup. Now, obviously, I'm nowhere near as good as a coach as Pep Guardiola is, so I sometimes will get it tactically wrong or different to him. And obviously the form of his players as well. You know, sometimes it's not easy to gauge the form of a player. You can look at a player, think he's played well, but obviously if he's not done the job specifically set to him by Pep, i.e. it might be a defensive part, like he wasn't pressing enough or whatever, then obviously that's not as easy to tell. There's also a part of those almost set rules has been around the Champions League, predominantly just before a Champions League game, he has kind of rested or rotated a few names. And therefore those weeks are usually a little bit harder, but as a result, you know, sometimes you can ignore almost the tactical element where, I mean, clearly Foden, for example, is pretty much should be, I think, in their team every week. You know, you could always find a role for him in that team because he plays in multiple positions, but you know, that's why he hasn't really been rested much this season. But in and around Champions League, as in just this week gone pre-Real Madrid, we saw a rest. So I guess what I'm saying now is now we're getting to the very business end of the Champions League. We also have to factor in, yes, there's been these rest games just pre-Champions League, but he's even willing to rest some of the names above their form and above the tactical need to have them. I mean, home to Watford, like I said previously, it's a game they should win regardless, right? And keeping Foden fit. I had it down pretty much as 51% Foden, 49% Jesus last week, because I just wanted to follow that mantra that he kept picking him, and in the end it was rested. So in hindsight, I guess I've got that wrong, and it was slightly obvious. I think nearly all the other predictors actually had Jesus to play, and that was on the basis that their entire front three changed pretty much for the next game. So yeah, rest is now very much a factor. Obviously the league's still not won, and Pep actually did, I've posted it on my timeline, if you look through, there was a video, a brief clip of him talking about Kevin De Bruyne and substitutions and stuff. And pretty much he said that, you know, De Bruyne, unfortunately, he has to play because he's so good. And if they weren't winning, he'd stayed on the pitch. But as they were winning comfortably against Watford, then he can take him off. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't rest Kevin De Bruyne entirely, but it does give you some confidence that he probably is going to keep playing his, especially him, in the games, you know, even in and around the Champions League. So we can kind of take that information and hopefully use it. So just in terms of, I guess, a general overview, forgetting the Leeds lineup for now, you know, we have to factor in rest a little bit now, which is a problem, but certain players maybe are immune. So let's go through the back four, which is obviously hampered by injury at the moment, and I don't have the updated injury news. And I think a lot of people who are looking to buy players, they're looking to buy them from now to the end of the season. It's not just specifically for Leeds. So for me, there's, you know, looking at Man City's fixtures, obviously the games they've got left now, and I just had the double confirmed. Well, not me personally, we all did. Obviously Leeds in between the Champions League, you know, you could say you need some rest there. Bear in mind they could go out to Real Madrid, but if not, it barely makes any difference, I think, now. Because having looked at it, the Champions League final is actually the 28th of May, which is 6 days later than their final game versus Villa. So that's enough time for rest and recuperation, isn't it? You almost could say that, you know, even if the league was won by that time and Liverpool had dropped points, then he might want to put out his best team for momentum There's always an element of, you know, do I want to play a player in a dead rubber that could get injured and then he misses the final? So, for example, you know, play De Bruyne versus Villa when the league's already won and then he gets injured and he can't play the final. So you do run that risk. But to me, it feels like whether they go through the Champions League or not, whether they're in the league or not, none of that seems to really matter now that the date's so far apart. I would guess that more than likely, if they were playing Villa and just, you know, whatever the score is, he just takes off the likes of De Bruyne, Foden or whoever in the final 20 minutes, something like that. But again, we're preempting stuff miles down the line, which is incredibly hard to do with Pep. We know this. So we almost, I think we almost don't need to worry about it. Going back to the fixtures, obviously the game directly after Real Madrid, 4 days later, was against Newcastle. That seems like a decent amount of time. Pep also did a video recently saying that we're playing every 3 or 4 days. You know, those who play will then be resting during those 3 days. The others will be training. And yeah, going back to the rules of the season, it does seem like he's been following that a little bit more in recent weeks, having benched, you know, some of the players he did against Watford, stuff like Silva, who was, you know, basically untouchable for most of the season. And like I say, Foden again, to mention him. So Newcastle's 4 days later, they still need to win. I would still be quite confident of, you know, close to their strongest team there. Versus Wolves 3 days later, yeah, it's a quick turnaround. I think in the attacking areas, you're going to see rotation probably in most of these games. But because of the injuries they've got, which we'll go through in a minute, the defenders seem a little bit safer. You know, we could use the Newcastle game to rotate more and then pick the better team versus Wolves. You know, it's the double. So really, it doesn't matter to us. We, in terms of which game you rest more, they're both, I mean, they could win easy, both of them quite comfortably, I would have thought. It's just trying to get those one who plays two, isn't it? West Ham, that's another 4 days later. Again, I can't see many issues there. And then finally Villa, which is 7 days later, and then 6 days to the Champions League. So the real risk games, really, aren't they, are the Leeds game this week, and you'd probably say either Newcastle or Wolves, one of the games in the double. There might be some rotation. Outside of that, I would have thought he's going to play probably his strongest team in most of the games, if we're assuming Liverpool are continuing to pick up points. Right, so let's touch on as a general view first, then I'll look at Leeds. So as a general view at the moment, the back four, Walker hasn't even trained yet, as far as we know. So he's just not a factor. He's going to want him fit and available. I think it was quite clear in the Champions League they missed his pace. So if there's any chance getting him back for Real Madrid, they're probably going to try that. But I'm not privy to that information. So we'll have to see in the coming days. If he was touch and go, maybe he would give him a couple of minutes versus Leeds. But to me, it seems like it's probably a little bit longer term. But we'll see. For now, we'll discount him. You wouldn't pick him in a team anyway, in FPL, I don't think. It's pretty much the only people who anyone wants to know about is Cancelo and Laporte, isn't it? Now, Cancelo, considering he missed the first leg of the Champions League, I think he'll give him minutes versus Leeds, as in he'll play Leeds. I can't see why he wouldn't. He's played virtually every game this season when fit and available. And, you know, he's already had a little bit of a rest. So if anything, you want to get him, you know, up to speed or momentum, as Pep puts it. So I'd be pretty confident there. Real Madrid is obviously going to play that game to me. And then the rest of the games, like I said, I can't really see where he would be benched. Maybe one in the double, but I doubt it. I really do doubt that. I think Cancelo's pretty much, you know, looking at all the City options, he was already the best pick from Man City for me. And, you know, adding in his expected minutes, I think he'd be very disappointed if he missed one. So I think he's pretty much a lock as a good pick. Laporte is quite close. He was rusty versus Real Madrid. He gave the handball away. He wasn't great. I think that's more down to Diaz. Laporte's been pretty solid throughout the season. Diaz, even pre-injury, was not up to his best standard. He's still very good and obviously he's a top-tier player. But he had looked shaky much of the season. Fans were calling for Stones to replace him, for example. Because in the game Stones played, they actually did better. Diaz is just a little bit rusty. You know, that could be just coming back from injury after a long time. It could be a combination of things. It does, just as a side note, make me slightly less secure with the Man City clean sheet? I know that's very easy to say and biased because they just conceded to Watford and they conceded 3 to Real Madrid. So that is in the mind. And let's not forget, Man City's stats for expected goals conceded are incredible. The teams they're playing are very different. It should be fine. It would just worry me very slightly. The defence is not quite as solid with him in the team yet. Now, we may be able to turn it around. He's a top quality player and, you know, give him a few more weeks in training, he's fine. But I'd feel more confident if Stones is there. And obviously, he went off injured against Real Madrid again. So it's not looking good for him. So we can pretty much put down Cancelo, Laporte and Diaz to pretty much play all of the games now. I wouldn't pick Diaz just on the basis that I think Stones may even come in for him. Or just the fact that why would you really when Laporte's there, I suppose, is the main reason. You probably could, but not for me. I think Laporte's the better option. He's obviously offers a little bit more goal threat as well. Ake and Zinchenko, you could risk them, but I think Ake picked up an injury recently as well. Zinchenko's played well offensively. He's not been great defensively. Positionally, he still gets caught out. He's still a bit weak. Benzema's goal from the cross the other day, fantastic goal, don't get me wrong. Fantastic finish, but if you actually watch it properly, and I'm surprised Rio and Lescott didn't pick up on it, Zinchenko doesn't really follow him as well as he could. It's quite obvious. Benzema's even pointing where he wants the ball. It's quite a long time before it's delivered, and he doesn't really get close enough to him. And then when he does get close enough to him, he's just nowhere near. Now, I'm not saying Ake would have stopped it, probably not, but he probably would have made it tougher for him. Certainly been stronger. Zinchenko's been very good defensively, though. Bottom line is I wouldn't risk either of them. Ake was very much ahead of Zinchenko, then picked up his knock, and then Zinchenko's done okay offensively, not defensively. So could Ake come in? Maybe. I mention it because obviously if they want to give Laporte a rest, they kind of need Ake fit at the moment with Stones out. You know, I wouldn't have thought Pep would want to play Ake and Diaz because Diaz is that shaky at the moment. You know, if his medical team say, you know, you're going to have to rest Laporte, he's absolutely shattered, then what can you do? He's going to do that. But I'd be surprised. I think Laporte is just behind Cancelo, but will probably play all the games. If he is going to miss one, you would expect it would be in the double, which is obviously very annoying. But yeah, it's very hard to answer right now with the limited injury information we have. You know, if Walker and Stones are still out, then he pretty much has to play Cancelo at right back. One of Ake or Zinchenko at left back, where Ake is ahead of Zinchenko for me, and then it's Laporte and Diaz in the centre. That all helps strengthen Laporte's case, so I'd be pretty confident. Obviously that gives you double Man City defence, which I've just discussed, maybe slightly iffy, but I think at least in expected minutes you're going to do a lot better than in the attacking positions. Okay, let's talk about the attacking options then. Quite a surprise this week for me was he didn't use Gundogan. He obviously rested him for Watford. He's been using him in the Champions League for the false nine setup, and then he didn't. That seems to me twofold. First of all, Jesus, obviously fantastic versus Watford, and we know Pep rewards form, so he could be that. I think it was more, again, I don't know too much about Real Madrid. I follow, you know, Man City closely in the Premier League, but I don't follow European football. Maybe I should have seen that coming because, yeah, the form thing, but also Jesus played striker versus Real Madrid, where he played right wing versus Watford, and he pressed the ball very, very well. And they struggled to cope with it, I thought. So again, this is where I touch on Pep's actually a better coach than me, shock. That worked pretty well. So now we're stuck in a position where Gundogan, who's usually been used for the Champions League games, is now rested for two games in a row, and now they play Leeds in between. Now, at the Bernabeu, is it a different game? And I think we have to work back a little bit here. So does he want to play the same team that played Real Madrid? You could make a very strong case for that, I think. Or does he want to use Gundogan and a false nine and try and control the game a bit more? Because he seemed a little bit upset with the fact that it was a bit of a basketball game. I think there was plenty of times there where Man City, you know, let Real Madrid back into it when they shouldn't have. And he has talked about this sort of thing in the past. So I wouldn't be 100% sure he plays the same team. I think there is an option to use the false nine in Gundogan, and therefore that would mean he wouldn't play Leeds. If you look at the alternative way that he wants to play the same team he played for Madrid, then obviously it makes sense to play Gundogan versus Leeds, doesn't it? And if that happens, you know, one of Silva or De Bruyne could miss out. I don't think De Bruyne will, for the reasons I already discussed at the beginning. Maybe it's Silva to give him a break. Or alternatively, he could obviously use the same setup where Silva plays, or Silva and De Bruyne play as a rotating false nine and Gundogan sits in. Which would make sense in terms of if he was rotating the entire front three again.
So yeah, that is a possibility. Personally, I wouldn't pick any of them apart from De Bruyne. I don't think anyone would, but it's just to touch on what could happen in that Leeds game a little bit. If you move to the front three, this is where, you know, I have the concerns. People were looking at Jesus because there's no other strikers. He's obviously played very well. Jesus came in for a tactical reason versus Liverpool, played on the right wing. He did a great job. You know, he continued to play him. He then used him versus Watford because I think he didn't want to play him versus Real Madrid. But because he played so well and reminded Pep what he could do, I think he then felt compelled to use him versus Real Madrid, which is a good idea. So he's almost played him into his team. So now it's tricky to read. You know, I think Jesus would have played this Leeds game, almost certainly, because he wouldn't want to play him in the next leg. But he probably maybe does want to use him against Real Madrid now. So there's a chance he misses Leeds. This is where it's so tricky, because tactically, I think it makes sense to play Jesus in a game like this. Even though Leeds are under a new manager now, they are very much, you know, a running side, aren't they? They put a lot of effort in. They try to... they don't sit deep in a deep block or anything, so it makes sense to have a lot of fast, quick running type players who can press, you know, put in as much effort as the Leeds boys, and obviously Jesus does that. So will Jesus play Leeds? I don't have the answer. I think it's very possible that he does, but I wouldn't be overly confident now because of obviously the fact he could be used against Real Madrid. Tactically, it makes sense to play him. Rest wise, it probably makes sense not to if you want to use him against Madrid. So as a result, you know, I personally would avoid, but this is where you have to take that information and use it for yourself. It could be worth the risk of just getting him anyway. Let's not get blindsided. He's been playing very well, but he isn't going to score four goals every game, is he? Let's add to that. And I think he has taken penalties in the past before, but it's more that he was on a hat-trick that he got given that. So I wouldn't get too excited there either. Foden's the big one, isn't he? Because he's played all of the season, pretty much. We're not naughty or not injured. He's played nearly every game. Pep's shown us that he will bench him now. Benched him against Atletico for a tactical reason. And then he benched him this week versus Watford to use him in the Champions League. I don't think anyone doubts that Foden will play versus Real Madrid. And he's had one benching. So, you know, Foden, like I argued before, tactically could be used. I think you can make a case for him in any game. So yes, tactically we could see him against Leeds. Is he going to rest him again for the game in the Bernabeu? Possibly. Possibly. Let's look a little bit longer term season though. I think now the Leeds game is a bit of a risk for Foden. And I think after that, you're pretty much safe. As I said at the start, we're looking for players, not just for the Leeds game. We're looking for it past that. Going on the information we have, I can't see any reason outside protecting Foden from getting injured why he wouldn't play the vast majority of games left, if not all of them. Really, it would be Leeds or maybe the game directly afterwards, Newcastle, where you would worry slightly. Grealish has barely featured of late. He obviously played versus Watford. And Foden has been used predominantly on the left because of Jesus in the middle or Silva in the middle. So really, it does seem at the moment at least, and this can change, that Grealish and Foden are sort of on the left. So does he give Grealish the game versus Leeds and then give Foden pretty much the rest of the games left? That's very possible. I also think he just gives Foden Leeds. I think you can buy him. You just have to be aware there's doubts for the Leeds game. So it's probably getting very waffly now. I didn't put any of this stuff in writing, obviously, because I'm sat in my car. Who else haven't we touched on? Okay, Sterling. Sterling's... again, tactically suits Leeds, doesn't he? He can play in all three positions, so he's got a good chance of playing. Played versus Watford, I think that was fairly obvious. Does a lot of the running. In terms of his form, it's dipped a little bit. But if we assume he's not going to use him versus Real Madrid, and I think people did buy him next week, he's probably good for the Leeds game. I would have thought he probably does play this game. It makes sense. You know, he's barely a drop-off compared to other players, is it? Sterling's, you know, he's arguably better than some of them or whatnot. He's at least very close, even if his form's not great. And it doesn't look like Sterling will be used for Real Madrid. So I feel like he's a good one for Leeds. But past that, he's probably not in their best team at the moment, at least, which is obviously very fluid with Pep. So I wouldn't want Sterling after Leeds particularly, I don't think. So you've always got a chance because of those three positions and the fact that he can cover all over the pitch. But I don't think he is in their best team. I think Mahrez, despite being frustrating at times versus Real Madrid, also is just their main goal threat. He scored the most goals this season. You know, forgetting the expected data, because it's obviously very, very close between all of them, and a lot of that has come down to penalties. But Pep does look at the form of those sort of things in terms of goals and assists, and he's obviously got the most of them this season. So my point being there is Mahrez has been iffy of late because Champions League's going on. As soon as the semi-finals are finished and they've got these stretch of games, will Mahrez play a little bit more on the right wing in the league? I think he probably will, because he's, you know, they want to get their pattern sorted, the team playing predominantly. So I think Sterling after Leeds is probably not a good buy, but you can maybe get away with him versus Leeds. And we also touched on Mahrez, didn't we, there? Again, you could argue that he might get dropped for the Real Madrid game, but he's played him in all the Champions League games. So it may come down to the fact that they've got Cancelo, haven't they, now back for Real Madrid's second leg, which means he'll have Cancelo at right back. I think his concern would be if he didn't have a right back and he had to play Fernandinho again there, and you play Mahrez that side, he doesn't really help out much. So maybe he would have got dropped. Now that Cancelo's back, I think he's probably got a better chance. And let's not forget, he was very threatening versus Real Madrid. So you could look at it two ways. Almost look at it, is Mahrez now going to get dropped from the Champions League? Therefore, he does actually play Leeds, and then he misses the Champions League game. Or is it more likely the other way around, that he misses Leeds, plays the Champions League, and then probably plays the majority of minutes for the season's out, presuming his form's good, in preparation for the Champions League again? I think it's probably that. I wouldn't buy Mahrez, certainly not now, and I'd wait to see any evidence of actually that happening and him playing in the league first. Who else have I missed? Grealish, yeah, again, he's probably in the frame for Leeds, isn't he, as we've already touched on. After that, he just seems to be behind the others at the moment. So unless anything changes, he's not really an option. So I've probably rambled enough. Have I missed anyone? Remembering you can drop Silva in the front line as well, bringing in Gundogan. This is a mess, isn't it? What should I touch on? Okay, the obvious names, nothing groundbreaking here. Cancelo looks good to me to play most of the games, if not all of them. In fact, I would probably bet all of them. Laporte, I think he probably plays all of them too. Slightly below Foden in my estimation of minutes, but Foden below Cancelo, but it's close. And the injuries have helped there. That picture may change with injuries, but I doubt it. I think the only other two you really want to buy are Kevin De Bruyne and Foden. I think De Bruyne is going to play. He may miss one, maybe Leeds, maybe Newcastle, but I think it's more likely, given the video, he plays all of them and is managed, taken off if need be. Foden is a buy, but is a doubt for Leeds to me slightly. After that, I think you're fine. And Sterling, like I said, is probably good for Leeds, but after that, I'd worry. I don't think I'd touch anyone else. Mahrez may become a factor later on. So for the double, I think your best chances of getting, you know, a player to play twice, which is what people are probably most interested in, is quite simply Laporte, Cancelo, and then obviously it's Ederson, but no one wants to go that route. I think that money-wise, it's probably Foden as well, because you can probably take the benching as well if it happens at that price a little bit better. He may get two, but what other options do you have? I think everyone else is also in the frame for one. They cost a little bit too much more money for me. And I don't think really many of the others will actually get the two games. Jesus and Sterling are sort of your high-risk, high-reward players, aren't they? Just on the periphery of that. And if Jesus has played so well that he's forced himself into the first team, you could argue with the same applies to him. Will he play those games as well? And he could do. So that's more for the risk-takers, I'd say. But yeah, those are my main options. And how long is this pod now? God, the heating's on high up in this car. I should turn that down. Starting to sweat thinking about Man City. How long have we been going for? 24 minutes. Okay, sorry, that was probably very rambly at the end there. Feel free to DM me or ask whatever. I do get a lot of it, so I try to respond. You know, my family don't know who I am anymore. in so many group chats and stuff responding to Man City. That's why I think I find it easier to record the pod so people could just listen to that and get my thoughts. And yeah, I apologise if they're totally and utterly wrong and they're very fluid. Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I shall maybe do another one before the season out. Depends whether we need to or whether it's warranted. Yeah, catch you later. Bye-bye.